Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now, the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want to be abused.
All right, John Kiriakou, former head of counterterrorism, CIA, real expert on Iran. He's been saying that it looks like they're going to try to hit this week. Now with the rhetoric we're hearing, it's damn close, and I think it's a bad idea, to say the least, but it is what it is. Brandon in Colorado, thanks for holding though on Epstein. Go ahead.
Hey, Trump can't whitewash this with the Epstein files. He's got to let go of trying to tell us to let it go because the American people are not going to let it go. You know, nobody's even talked about Hillary Clinton in years. You know, they proved that when they let her go on those emails. You know, the American people want accountability. And as long as there's not going to be accountability, people are going to start taking things in their own hands, and that's just going to make the situation so much worse. And I've already seen a list out there of supposed names that are on this, and who knows if it's true. You know, it's by doing what he's doing, he's just leaving it open for
people to take things in their own hands. By not releasing it all, he attaches himself to it as covering it up, becoming an accessory after the fact. And I know his relations and the people involved in his MO. There's never the victims all said he never did anything and was a gentleman, and only one or two ever saw him, you know, at Mar-a-Lago. But it doesn't matter. He told MTG. She told me before she put it on the news. He said, "This will embarrass my friends." What? And then you have the FBI blacking out. We're delivering the sex slave to the Hyatt. It's been paid for, and it's all blacked out. And there's hundreds of those. And him buying babies and all this, and unredact the names. Because then if I don't expose this, if I don't push for that, I'm now an accessory. But I got to say this, what we've got in the 3 million files, people are still beavering through because they tried to make it hard to search, only 10 things at a time, and broke the links and stuff, but people found a way around it. It's just completely devastating. I mean, the head CEO of the World Economic Forum, with Epstein and the Trilateral Commission and the Rothschilds creating a new world government where the UN would sign its authority over. And this is 3 or 4 or 5 years, depending on the email, before the UN gave it co-equal power and made a partnership globally and said that they would be consulted as co-equals on decision-making. It's like above the Security Council or something, which is what the globalists have wanted. They want corporate technocracy rule. How many Bloomberg articles I've read, how many Wall Street journals 20 years ago. We need to get rid of politicians and elections, and we need to have elites make the decisions, businessmen. And you heard this from Klaus Schwab. We will not need voting anymore. The AI will know how you vote, so it tell you. And we won't need too many people. We don't need too many robot polishers. It is so dystopic. Anything else, Brandon?
Yeah, just, you know, you used to talk a lot about your relationship with God and stuff, and I just got to tell people, man, you got to, like you said, you got to get right with God.
Well, I didn't used to talk about that. I talk about it every day.
Well, I just used to hear a lot more, and I'm not saying anything bad at all. I'm just saying, you know, with that, he's the truth, he's the way, and he's the life.
Well, you must not be tuning in. I've been all week saying people better get right with God. This is a fight between good versus evil.
I actually haven't been. I've been so busy lately.
No, I understand. I understand. I understand. Well, God bless you. We'll be right back with our special guest, John Kiriakou. Stay with us. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Well, it's not just Iran Corporation, the Pentagon, and other countries. It's all the big AI models say the world's closer to nuclear war than ever. And 8-9 months ago when they struck Iran with the pinpoint, beautiful, perfect strike, I knew they were going to come back and say, I said, 6 months, a year, oh, they're enriching again, we got to hit them again. And now they're telling Iran, you got to yourselves blow up your sites. I thought the big, beautiful bombers took it all out. And so this is Trump really taking us to the brink of destruction. And I know he ran on peace, but on specifically on Iran, he said, I'll never let them have nuclear weapons. Okay, but I thought you obliterated them. So this is a very dangerous moment to be in. And even when Eric Prince, who's not a dove, has been out saying, this just goes from bad to worse. This is a real Russian roulette. This is a bad situation. Israel's won its aims. They've basically taken over the Middle East. And then suddenly you see in the Israeli newspapers, and you see Huckabee and everybody going, yes, Israel will take over the Middle East. It's our manifest destiny. And, oh, your allies, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, we're just taking it all. And we'll play that clip coming up. And it's just insane to watch Israel manipulating our foreign policy and making every cliche come true that Israel controls the United States, which I don't think they did, except on Middle East policy until now. But John Kiriakou has dealt with the Mossad. He's worked all over the Middle East, all over the world. He was the counterterrorism head in Afghanistan and so much more. He's a best-selling author, blew the whistle on illegal torture. JohnKiriakou.substack.com. He's very hard to get on, a very busy man. JohnKiriakou.com. I'm not going to go over his whole bio, but if you don't know who he is, you're hiding under a rock. John, I want to talk about this, and if it's too late to turn back from this, because I can see all the weapons and refuelers and bombers, and my military sources have said the same thing you said over the weekend. They've been told, expect it to happen. Now, maybe that's Trump trying to get a deal, but I don't know if the mullahs are going to blink. So just quantify where we are, the dangers of this, and then Israel said, even if we take out Iran or have regime change, they're going to continue to destabilize so that you put Al-Qaeda into a country like Syria so later they can go blow it up again and expand into there. I mean, they're already taking part of Syria. I mean, that's my problem with the regime change on top of it all is Israel's driving it, and they have a very expansionist, imperial attitude. They're in their papers, they're bragging that we're our superpower now because we control America. And then they're saying they control America, and Hubby's like, Israel can take it all. And I'm watching megalomania on parade. Then I say, hey, I don't want megalomania. And they're like, oh, you hate Jews. No, I don't. But the point is you're putting yourself in a villain position. What is your view? I've watched you all the time. What's your overall take and your latest analysis on what's going on?
Oh, man, Alex, where do we even begin with this? First of all, let's begin with the most immediate thing. We are prepared. We are ready to launch an attack on Iran. There were reports coming out of the White House at the end of last week saying that a decision had been made to launch an attack this past Monday or Tuesday. That didn't come to pass. This morning, the U.S. and the Iranians met again in Geneva. These talks are going to go for the next day and a half or next 2 days. We could very easily attack Iran after that. The president said something last week to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which was very troubling to me. Very casually, he apparently said, "Why haven't the Iranians capitulated already?" He thought that if he just stood up and raised his voice and, you know, sent a couple of ships out there, that the Iranian regime would just fall apart and everybody would live happily ever after. Of course, that's not going to happen. That was never going to happen in the first place. So we're ready to strike. We are not ready to launch a sustained attack on Iran. We have about one-fourth the number of assets in the region that we had during the 2003 invasion of Iraq, for example. We have the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln in the Arabian Sea. We have the USS Gerald Ford in the Mediterranean, steaming to the Eastern Mediterranean, and their associated ships. They each have 11 or 12 ships along with them. We have troops in Kuwait. We have troops in Saudi Arabia. We have the Navy headquarters for the region in Bahrain. We have the Air Force headquarters for the region in Qatar at Al Rashid Air Base. But that's not enough to launch a sustained war. So what the hope is at the White House, it seems, is that we give them a little shove and they fall off the roof. And that's just not going to happen. Now, we know also that the Israelis are the ones that instigated this aborted uprising a couple of weeks ago in Iran. We know that because the Mossad leaked it to the Israeli media and they were gloating over it for a couple of days, where they partnered with a terrorist group called the Mujahideen-e Khalq, MEK, and they got the MEK to start riots in cities all around Iran. That's kind of easy to do with inflation as high as it is there. But what they also did was they burned 38 fire engines and then set fire to mosques, knowing that there were no fire engines to put out the fires, hoping that that might be pressure on the regime and it would topple. So I'm just not seeing a long-term strategy here, Alex.
How much truth is it to the numbers, the Israelis saying the Mullahs killed 30,000 versus the reports from the Mullahs that Israel was staging false flags, kind of like was done 15 years ago, we know, confirmed to topple the regime in Kyiv?
Yeah. The Israeli numbers are absurd. There were probably 3,000 or 4,000 killed, but that's not even to say that they were killed necessarily by the regime. Of course, some were, but others were killed. You know, others were pro-regime and were killed by the demonstrators, by the rioters. You can't believe anybody, really, especially in a situation where both sides are trying to create a so-called fog of war.
I was about to say, I don't think anybody knows, including people on the ground there. They don't know.
No, they don't know. They're winging it. And, you know, these so-called human rights organizations that give us these numbers, one's based in London, one's based in Washington, and they're both financed by the Israelis. So you just can't believe them.
So what do you make of these latest meetings? I mean, do you think – I agree with you. Trump thought they would capitulate. This is not Venezuela. So what do you think he does now that he's kind of put his pecker on the table?
Well, I'm an eternal optimist, and usually this is a problem for me, but I'm an eternal optimist. We are working very, very closely with the government of Oman. The Omanis are close friends of the United States. They are a peace-loving people, and they are consummate diplomats. It's the Omanis that have brokered these talks, even though they're indirect talks, and I'll get to that in a second, between the United States and Iran. Indirect talks are the Americans are sitting in one room, the Iranians are sitting in another room, so they don't have to speak directly to each other, and the Omani foreign minister just goes back and forth from room to room.
It's like a divorce mediation.
That's exactly what it is. It's a divorce mediation, precisely. Well, the Omanis are serious about this. The Iranians are serious about this. It's unclear whether the Americans are. I think that at this stage, we're not. I think we've just been dragging it out just to see what would happen. Would the regime collapse on its own? And it hasn't. So I'm hoping that actual progress is made in the next 48 hours to the point where Donald Trump says, you know what? If I want to win that Nobel Peace Prize, this is going to be the cherry on top of everything else.
Could Israel blow up the delegation when it goes back to its hotel like they did in Qatar?
Sure. Sure. Yes, they could. Yes. Now, the only thing that that delegation has going for it is that these talks are in Geneva. And I don't think the Israelis would have the guts to do something like that in Switzerland. But yeah, they could very easily so.
Well, I could ask questions, but, you know, 10 times more. What else people need to know about this situation? What can the general public do? Shouldn't we be calling Congress saying, don't have your vote next week on war powers? This is a full war. I don't think Trump has the authority to do this. We need to say no now.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up. He does not have the authority to do this. The War Powers Act is clear. The Constitution is even clearer. But since December the 8th, 1941, the day after Pearl Harbor, Congress has ceded its authority on issues of war and peace to the executive. And so we've not had a congressional declaration of war since December 8th, 1941. But you are 100% right that without congressional approval, the president does not have the legal authority to launch a war. Now, he probably will and say, what are you going to do about it? But legally, he doesn't.
Let's talk about what Iran can do if they think they're really going to fall and they decide not to run to Russia. They probably know they can't even get out of there. They'll get shot down. If they hit their doomsday button, what type of weapons do they have? From my intel, you know, they basically got the bombs ready, but you may disagree. But regardless, we know Hezbollah has sizable sleeper cells in Europe, United States. What's the probability if they're going down they would access that? We see something like we saw in Mexico, but I would think much worse. Here in the U.S.
I would have to agree. I would have to agree with you. I don't think they have the bomb. The CIA has assessed twice that they don't have the bomb. They have the ability to make a bomb if they were to decide to enrich the uranium to weapons grade. That would take probably a period of weeks, maybe months. But they don't have the delivery system for it. They don't have a missile that's capable right now of delivering a nuclear weapon, a nuclear bomb to Israel, for example. But that's not what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of what you just cited, that they do have Hezbollah sleeper cells all around the world, not just in the Persian Gulf, but in Europe, in the greater Middle East, and even in South America, in places like Ciudad del Este, Paraguay, or Buenos Aires, for example, or Rio. They're all over the place. So we have to worry about that. But we also have to worry, I say this as a concerned American, we have to worry about hypersonic missiles and their use against aircraft carriers. The conventional wisdom is that an aircraft carrier cannot defend itself from a hypersonic missile. Can you imagine the fallout if the Iranians sunk the USS Abraham Lincoln?
And let's raise that. From what we know, what do they have? I'm told some pretty advanced stuff. And have they gotten the new Chinese missiles delivered? And explain to people what would it look like if Trump commits to this? They shoot a bunch of these at aircraft carriers. The aircraft carrier, it makes it in, and we have an aircraft carrier on fire.
Exactly. Imagine an aircraft carrier strike force or aircraft carrier battle group as a hornet's nest, with the carrier itself the nest, and you've got all these hornets flying around it. And the hornets, though, are offensive. They have the ability to defend the nest, and they have the ability to defend themselves against conventional missiles, surface-to-surface or air-to-surface missiles. But hypersonics move faster than the speed of sound, and there's no clear defense against a hypersonic missile. The Iranians have them. They've purchased them from the Chinese. They've also purchased them from the Russians. We actually don't have hypersonics yet. We're still in development on ours. They're not terribly difficult to make, but they take time. Well, we're not sure that we can defend against an Iranian supersonic missile. And as I said, even if it doesn't destroy an aircraft carrier, if you have to tow an aircraft carrier into port and put it in dry dock for 2 years or 3 years to repair what this missile has done with it, you know, it's going to change the complexity.
Sure, and if the Houthis with the more primitive missiles can hit ships 50 miles out, imagine what they've got. So why, and I know you're right, why has China and Russia and everybody else developed large, capable, when you've seen it in use in Ukraine, Mach 15, Mach 10, even higher missiles, why, and then the U.S. tries to test them and they fail? What war planners didn't think that the United States needs hypersonic missiles or hypersonic missile defense?
Yeah, it's a mystery. You know, every time I talk to somebody at the Pentagon, they always talk about how excited they are about the latest technology. We've got these robot dogs. We've got robots now that don't have to be physically attached to a power pack or a battery. We can do it remotely, and how proud they are that this is going to be the future of warfare. We're going to be able to wage war without sending a human being onto the battlefield. Okay. What about defending against hypersonic missiles and supersonic missiles? What are we going to do about that? We're just going to let all of our ships sink? You know, we've got 24 aircraft carriers. 12 of them are seaworthy. Several are in the process of being scrapped or retired. But we've got 12 that are seaworthy.
And that's how the U.S. protects power. So let me ask you this question. Let's be cynical here. I don't mean with Trump. We know has limited military understanding. He's really smart in ways, but folks, he's even admitted, I was naive. I thought all the generals were conservative. Oh, yeah, right. They're globalists. Most of them, General Flynn will say that. I really, this is what I've been thinking. Instead of having a fake Gulf of Tonkin, they can have a real Pearl Harbor. And and the psychological warfare experts know, we see our carrier group on fire, and I think that's what this is the ultimate false flag. But it's not even a false flag. We position them into this, and then Iran sinks an aircraft carrier, and it's over.
Oh, man, I could not agree more. I think you've hit the nail right on the head there. We've all studied the Gulf of Tonkin. We've all studied 9/11. We've all studied Pearl Harbor. If the Iranians actually do sink an aircraft carrier, you're right. It's World War III. Because the Israelis are going to jump in immediately. The Israelis are itching to use nuclear weapons, especially against Iran. And you know what's funny? The Israelis have been saying since 2004 that the Iranians were 6 weeks away from a nuclear weapon. Since 2004, 22 years they've been saying, oh my God, it's 6 weeks away. It's an existential threat to Israel. Israel's the one that keeps attacking Iran. Israel's the one that keeps attacking its neighbors. The Iranians haven't attacked Israel. Not you know, unprovoked. Of course, they've launched counterattacks after the Israelis have bombed them. But they used to say the same thing to us when I was at the CIA about Iraq. Iraq is an existential threat. Saddam Hussein is Satan incarnate. We have to take out Iraq. We have to take out Saddam Hussein. Okay, we did. Now you're saying exactly the same thing about the Iranians.
And it's created a vacuum for the Iranians to expand their power across the Middle East, which Israel knew.
Exactly.
And then Israel gets to take over the Middle East because it's countering what it created, just like Israel helped create Hamas, and Israel put the new al-Qaeda leader with Turkey in charge of Syria. This is going to be their excuse to take over all the rest of the Middle East. They've said is by propping up the people, setting up the climate, and then playing victim.
Yes, I agree. I'm genuinely worried about this. I feel like you do. You said just before I came on that we've lost control of our own foreign policy. I've never felt that way before in my career, and I do today. I feel like we've ceded American foreign policy to Israeli interests. I mean, look at the U.S. ambassador in Jerusalem, former Governor Mike Huckabee. He might as well be the Israeli foreign minister. I just don't understand how it is that he's even able to represent American interests when his own personal...
Oh, I mean, listen, he's Jonathan Pollard 2.0. He's been an Israeli asset forever. Guaranteed. This is... I mean, and I like Huckabee as a person and on conservative, but he is an absolute Israeli operative. Let's play a clip of him last week with Tucker Carlson saying, no, Israel can take it all. And then I can study the ramifications of it. We can talk about that, but here's the clip you're talking about.
You've appealed to Genesis. Genesis 15 says it's Abram, it's pre-Abraham, it's Abram, receives from God the news that his descendants will inherit the land. And you tell me as the theologian if I'm getting this wrong, but from the Euphrates to the Nile. I think that's right. And that would include, like, basically the entire Middle East. That would be the Levant. So that would be Israel, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon. It would also be big parts of Saudi Arabia and Iraq. It would be, I mean,
not sure it would go that far. I mean, it would be a big piece of land. But here's the point.
It would be a lot of places that are now countries.
But this particular area that we're talking about now, Israel, is a land that God gave through Abraham to a people that he chose. It was a people, a place, and a purpose. We can look at it that way. Christian Zionism, I want to go back because that's where we started.
I'm not going to let you off on this because you have
go
said
ahead.
It three times
okay.
that God gave this land
yeah.
to this people. And so it is entirely fair for me with respect to ask, what land are you talking about? Because I just read Genesis 15, as I have many times.
Mm-hmm.
And that land, I think it says, from the Nile to the Euphrates, which is, once again, basically the entire Middle East. So God gave that land to his people, the Jews, or he didn't. You're saying he did. What does that mean? Does Israel have the right to that land? Because you're appealing to Genesis.
Yeah.
You're saying that's the original deed.
It would be fine if they took it all.
Let them eat cake. I mean, unpack that, because we already knew that. But the ADL 5 years ago said, I'm evil because I quoted them, you know, this. Now they're just in Israeli newspapers saying, oh, yeah, we're the superpower. We control America. The arrogance. What's going on here?
Yeah, this is Israeli foreign policy that has been imposed on us. The Euphrates to the Nile, Tucker's right. That's almost the entire Middle East. It is literally half of Iraq, all of the Arabian Peninsula, Syria, Jordan, Israel, Palestine, and the Sinai. I mean, it just boggles the mind. And, you know, think of it this way. Listen, I'm a Christian. I'm a practicing Christian. I wear my faith on my forehead. And I have to ask, first of all, ignoring the fact that this, we're talking about the Old Testament and the arrival of Jesus Christ, it changes so much of what we abide by and don't abide by in the Old Testament because of the New Covenant. It leads me to ask, who said that God said that everything should belong to the Israelis? The Israelis say it, right? If God was speaking to the Jews through Abraham, well, Abraham is also the father of the Muslims, and he's also the father of the Christians. He's the father of all three of the great monotheistic religions. So this notion that what you're showing on the screen right now, this map, should all belong to Israel? Sorry, not buying it.
Well, but let's just talk about the admitting the plan, which they're doing everywhere now, is going to enrage and turn a bunch of people working with them against them.
Yes.
It's just an energized extremist.
That's exactly what it does. And it alienates allies. Look, the Jordanian people don't love the Israelis, but the Jordanian government's willing to work with them. Same with the Egyptians and the Emiratis and the Bahrainis and the Omanis and all these other countries that have relations with Israel. But the Israelis are going to blow it.
I was about to say, let's come back after break. Israel is goading everyone. This is all coordinated by declaring their own crusader jihad, their own expansionist Lebensraum. It's a declaration of war, folks. And they think we're all stupid and don't see it. Let's come back and talk about it. Thank you, John. Stay right there, please.
When RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you're...
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something.
Sure.
Crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Fortune tanto vulnera, si vilatibus ocelis, potsu amici vulnera, sutra di prebelis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, a really smart individual, John Kiriakou, best-selling author, former counterterrorism official, CIA, head of counterterrorism, major countries, you name it, worked all over the Middle East. He's here with us, and I want to go into 35,000-foot view here with some of him and the geopolitics, how this hooks into the other gears. But just to quantify this and to see if I'm right here or if you can expand on it, we had Wesley Clark, you know, long time ago, goes into the Pentagon. They're briefing him. We're going to take out all these countries for Israel. The U.S. has its interests, you know, weapons, cells, all the rest of it. We do it. And the Middle East the whole time says it's Israel, it's Israel, it's Israel. They want a greater Israel. And then Israel starts admitting that. They have the churches pushing it here that we all go to hell if we don't support it. Mm-hmm. But we're always told per country, oh, we're doing it because of this, we're doing it because of that. And most of the time, it's some terror group Israel created and funded and put in. The examples already listed. And so now you have the Israeli newspapers and their spokespersons and their agents like Huckabee, who is the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., not the other way around, saying, of course, we're taking it all. And then they have the Israel lobby. When I just even say, hey, I don't want nuclear war, this is dangerous, like Eric Prince, because we can look at how it goes from bad to worse, I get massively attacked by the bots and you know, slammed and censored and everything. And you've got Netanyahu saying we're in an eight-front war. We got to censor the Americans. Israel's pushing censorship in America. So you have the EU doing it, and the UK and Israel. It's just insane. The old cliche that Israel runs America, I didn't think that. They ran a lot of our foreign policy in the Middle East. Now Israel sees the power vacuum with the old dying neoliberal system and that all falling apart, and it's coming into the vacuum saying, literally, we're the new empire now. We control the U.S. It's total megalomania, and I don't know how we dial it back or what we do. Netanyahu is obviously out of his mind on a power trip. Is that an accurate statement? And how do we stop this? And what do you expect if they sink the aircraft carrier or all this goes forward? And do you think Trump even understands ramifications, or does he really think he's a savior trying to stop them getting nuclear weapons?
Oh, I think Trump really believes that he's doing the right thing. Yeah, I believe that that he believes in what he is proposing. Man, there's so much to unpack here. One of the things that I never understood, I'm a former adjunct professor at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, the biggest evangelical university in the world. And one of the things that I never understood is how they don't care one whit about Palestinian Christians. They are perfectly happy to snuff them out and help Israeli settlers bulldoze their houses and burn down their olive trees and take their land and resettle it. And I never understood how people who call themselves Christians can be so anti-Christian. The Palestinian Christians are the original Christians, the original ones. But you want to work with these hostile Zionists to snuff out Christianity in the Middle East? I just don't get it. Another thing is the Israeli, this is on a more practical level, the Israeli populace has been moved so far to the right politically through the influx of hundreds of thousands of Russian and Ukrainian Jews since the 1980s that there's no going back to the days where political parties in Israel were willing to talk to Arab countries or willing to engage in Oslo-like peace talks. Those days are gone. You know, when you've got people serving as the national security advisor of Israel, the minister of finance of Israel, who's also the governor, the occupation governor of the West Bank, these guys have been convicted of anti-Arab felony hate crimes, and those are the guys you put in charge of the Arabs. What do you think is going to happen? So the policy is to kill all the Palestinians, or the ones you can't kill, drive them out. Does that sound familiar at all? And the policy is you take out Saddam Hussein, and you take out the Iranians, and you take out Gaddafi, and you take out Somalia, and you take out any country that maybe possibly someday might pose a threat to Israel. And then all the while, you get the American ambassador to say, well, we can't do anything because God gave them the land. It's their land. God said so himself. We know that because the Israelis told us that God told them that the land is theirs. I mean, there's no end in sight to this craziness.
So how do we stop it?
You know, there is no easy way to stop it. But one of the things that we have to do is keep spreading the word, just like you're doing, just like Tucker Carlson is doing, just like Candace Owen is doing. We have to keep spreading the word. I am a firm believer in America first. Not Israel first, America first. And I think we should all be, number one. Number two, we have to ride these morons that we've elected on Capitol Hill every single day. I've worked both on the House side and the Senate side, and I was always surprised at how quickly the members of Congress that I worked for were willing to change their positions on an issue just because they got a letter or an email asking them to. They stand for nothing, most of them. And they'll do what they're told to do. So we have to ride them. We have to write op-eds. We have to march and take to the streets and make sure that our voices are the loudest voices. Ours are the ones that are out there dictating what our foreign policy should be.
Gut level, I guess everything's possible. We were 2 minutes to midnight just a few days ago. And it came out you were right. They were planning to hit Iran. I just have to think that there's got to be cooler minds. And that Trump's, I mean, if you got Eric Prince, who's a smart military guy, saying, everywhere, don't do this, it's too dangerous. Yeah, I've got to believe people in the Pentagon, because I remember back when Obama was in, the Joint Chiefs were restraining him on the Middle East stuff that was being pushed. So I think there's got to be, if I can study this and know how dangerous it is, there's got to be some smart people up there.
Yeah, there have to be. And, you know, one of the reasons why I'm optimistic is that when Donald Trump came into office the second time, he fired many of the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he appointed people who were friendlier to his worldview, which is the purview of every president. Every president can do that. It's the pro-Trump members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who are telling him this is a big mistake. I have a friend at the White House who told me just recently that the only voices against war with Iran in the White House right now are J.D. Vance and Tulsi Gabbard. Pete Hegseth wants to fight, and Marco Rubio more than anybody else wants to fight. Well, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs just came out the other day and said, no, that's not entirely true. He said, I've been urging the president not to attack Iran as well. And as you said correctly, Eric Prince, who is a respected voice in the Trump White House, has said this is a mistake. In addition, you have literally every American ally in the Middle East, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, Bahrainis, Emiratis, the Qataris, the Omanis, all saying, please don't do this. This is going to be a disaster. So I'm still hopeful that at the end of it, cooler heads prevail.
How do we expose the bad factions in Israel, but not give those factions what they want? Because They brand anybody disagreeing with any policies that we wanted to blow them up. Nah, I don't want that. You don't want that. I just don't want them to be the trigger for blowing us all up. How do we respond to Netanyahu? How do we respond to the Israel lobby, that particular one that is just savagely running around attacking everybody that isn't insane?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. In a way, I think the Israelis are doing it to themselves in that, you know, they're actually taught in schools to call anybody who disagrees with the Israeli government an anti-Semite. And I think we have finally gotten to the point where being labeled an anti-Semite doesn't mean anything anymore. I was called, the Israeli foreign minister's political director wrote an article a couple of months ago in a Middle East scholarly journal in which he called me a noted anti-Semite. I've never, ever been an anti-Semite, ever. And to call me a noted anti-Semite is just so preposterous. I don't even know how to respond to it. Tucker Carlson was named anti-Semite of the year. I know Tucker well. He's a friend of mine. He's no anti-Semite. I can guarantee.
Oh, I just had Ben Shapiro come out and basically say I'm anti-Trump, I'm anti-America because I disagree with this war.
Yeah.
And
anti-America.
What about nice. Jonathan Pollard? We have a short clip. Pollard, the most famous spy, one of the most famous, one of the most dangerous, you know, the Pentagon said the secrets he gave away to Israel, basically our whole networks, everything. He's out basically saying that Tucker isn't foreign agent and he's the one that he's getting in trouble. And he's disappointed with Trump that he put pressure on Israel to let Netanyahu in. And he's mad at Netanyahu. It was Trump that pardoned this guy. And now he sits there arrogantly talking like this. I mean, it's never ending. Here he is.
This is Jonathan Pollard. I'm sure a lot of people have now heard about the wild accusations that Tucker Carlson has made about my so-called crime during his short visit to Israel. And I would like the opportunity to address that issue as in a detailed manner as I can. But before addressing this issue, I would first like to say that I was extremely disappointed by the Israeli government's decision to allow this anti-Semite into Israel. Basically, Bibi surrendered, buckled to pressure from the White House to let him in. And that raises another serious question. as to President Trump's involvement in this whole affair. They say a man is known by the friends he keeps, people he keeps around him. Well, Carlson is welcome in the Trump White House anytime he wants to be there. And this raises some very troubling issues as to exactly what President Trump thinks about American Jews and Israel. It's not a good thing to say that even the vice president has a friend in Tucker Carlson. So we should first address that issue. Now, as far as the specific issues or allegations that Carlson raised, he's raised them before in the past, and they've only been supported by conspiracy nuts. That's the best way I can put it. People who don't have a clue about what happened in my operation or what I was actually charged with and what I wasn't charged. So let me just address one issue. I could have been charged with intent to harm the United States, and I wasn't. I was charged with aiding Israel without intent to harm the United States. Now, if any of the information that Tucker Carlson alleges I passed to Israel, and that was later, according to him, compromised to the Russians, had actually been involved in my case, I could have and should have been indicted for intending to harm the United States, and I wasn't. And what happened when my lawyers first received the government's damage assessment, my lawyers realized that there wasn't anything there. And when the prosecutors realized this, they had a problem. So what they did was, simply put, lie to the court. What they alleged was not founded in fact. It was all hypothetical. But people have to understand this. There was no proof. There was no foundation for any of the assertions that they made in court. And they actually were clear about this to the court. They said, what if? Not what did happen, but what if? Now, the government has what's called a victim impact statement. And every defendant has this. And this victim impact statement is a credible assessment, objective assessment, of what the defendant actually did and what damage he committed. Now, in my case, after many years, we got a hold of this document, and I understood why the government was very reluctant to share it with us. Why? Because if you read this victim impact statement, which is freely available now, it says quite clearly.
I thought I sent the crew like a minute and a half one. I guess I've sent the wrong link, some long form. But he just goes on to say Tucker Carlson should basically be arrested. So here's my issue. I don't even want to talk about Pollard. I hate to even focus on him. But I remember 3 weeks ago, he said it's the duty of every Jew in America to spy on America. Spying on America is totally natural. I mean, I'm probably going to do a report on him just to show all this. Here he is in a video saying, I never even spied. I never did anything.
Then he's a liar.
You know all about it. So what do you make of this guy now attacking an American journalist?
You know, as a Christian, I really feel like I need to be against the death penalty. I would personally execute Jonathan Pollard. I would. Jonathan Pollard is the worst kind of spy, the worst kind of traitor that this country has ever produced. He spied on behalf of Israel. He stole U.S. military documents classified at the top secret level and passed them to Israel. The Israelis then traded the documents to the KGB in exchange for a few plane loads of Russian Jews. So he did irreparable, significant damage to the U.S. national security. He put the lives of every American on the line. He's lying.
They say it's the most prolific ever. What we know of is like the volume was everything. Well, it was like this guy was like a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, it was like a truckload of classified documents. And not only has he said it's the duty of every Israeli to spy on the United States, he called for Israelis to commit acts of violence against the United States if the U.S. doesn't toe the line on Israeli foreign policy.
Well, shifting gears, the 9 minutes we have, you're hard to get on. I watch your shows. I see your interviews. Right. You do a great job. Please join us whenever you can. But just in the six, 7 minutes we have left, it has now come out that the Israeli government, quote, security firms, you know, cutouts, ran Epstein's facility in New York, the cameras, internal, external. They were running it. So we've always known he's MI6, CIA connected. We know those agencies were watching it, but I always said mainly Mossad. He took over for Ghislaine's dad, who was Mossad, MI6, we know. How big a deal is that coming out a few days ago? That should be top story everywhere. I'll dig it out and show the emails here in a minute. That now confirmed that an Israeli security government-affiliated company, Mossad, was running the honeypot. You got Ehud Barak there all the time. This is a huge deal. What does it quantify? What's it mean?
Yeah, huge deal. I have long said from the very beginning that I believe Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad access agent. We now know that, number one, that's likely true. Number two, he actively sought contact with the CIA, the FBI, and the NSC, MI5 and MI6 in the UK, and repeatedly sought a personal, private, one-on-one meeting with Vladimir Putin, the Russians wouldn't agree to it. We know that this Israeli company was managing his security in New York, and that he had actually set aside a part of his townhouse that he called Ehud's apartment. And this Israeli security company went in there to wire the house and to wire the apartment where Ehud Barak would stay when he was in New York. Absolutely outrageous. But there's something in these Epstein documents that troubles me even more. There was an email to Ghislaine Maxwell from somebody named Ed Epstein, no relation to Jeffrey Epstein, talking about, or not even talking about, just asking point blank, do you want to be a member of the Shadow 9/11 Commission? And then he writes underneath that, we have our own 9/11 Commission. The membership is secret. Do you want to be a part of it? And she just wrote back and said, I don't want to be a member of this Shadow 9/11 Commission. What the heck is that supposed to mean? What Shadow 9/11 Commission? Was this official behind closed doors? Was it an Israeli operation? Who were the members of it? Did they have access to classified information? Or were they the ones trying to steer the analysis of the 9/11 attacks away from, you know, a sensitive subject like Israel?
And how the hijackers were being protected, and the Israeli art students, and the art project right where the bombs went off. And who was the head of Israel then? Who was the chief neocon working with Rumsfeld and the rest of them? Oh, it was our good little buddy, Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yes, it was. And I'll add one thing. There's kind of a famous story here in Washington about Richard Perle. Richard Perle, the famous neocon, who ironically never changed his party registration. He's still a Democrat. But on the 12th of September 2001, he famously went to the White House and said, you know, we have to attack Iraq, right? Iraq that had literally nothing to do with 9/11. He went on the 12th of September and said, we have to attack Iraq, because that's exactly what the Israelis wanted us to do.
So in closing, why do you think Trump and the DOJ are trying to suppress all this Epstein stuff and handling it with the worst PR I've ever seen in my life? We're going to cover it up. Just say, okay, we're going to release it, but stop saying it doesn't matter. It's a hoax. For your intel, your assessment, what's happening with Trump?
You know, I believe that Trump said that it would embarrass his friends. I really believe that that's why he hasn't released it. I was on the Piers Morgan show a week or so ago with David Boies. David Boies, the renowned criminal defense attorney who represented Hillary Clinton and Virginia Giuffre and others. And he said he and his staff have gone through literally every page of these 3 million documents, and they have found no evidence of a crime committed by Donald Trump or by Bill Clinton for that matter. So I think I've come to the conclusion that Trump is telling us the truth when he says he just doesn't want to embarrass his friends.
Yeah, and MTG told me that a week before she resigned, and then she later publicly said it. She said it made her so mad in multiple conversations. It'll embarrass my friends. And he's now publicly said three times, it's bad for America, meaning it's embarrassing. Well, what's dangerous is having the network of scum in there. No, I think the stock market would go up. I mean, if we saw a bunch of real arrest. And what Trump needs to know is I don't see any way by doing this, he's created the mother of all Streisand effects, and now he's become the Epstein presidency. And believe me, I go off my own gut and my own morals, but I go to church. I go to the supermarket. I go to the gym. I go to the gas station. I am Epstein, Epstein, Epstein. And a lot of people are like mad at me because I'm a Trump guy, and they act like I'm involved in it. So people are pissed. It's not going away. It's getting worse.
Yeah, I think it is getting worse. I have to agree. This is the biggest self-inflicted PR injury I think I've ever seen. And you know the old saying that came out of the Watergate scandal. It's never the crime that's the scandal. It's the cover-up of the crime. So, you know, when the House of Representatives votes 419-1 and the Senate votes 99-0 to release the documents, then release the doggone documents.
That's a mandate.
It's what the American people want.
Well, Kyle Serafin, I don't know if you know who he is, pretty impressive FBI whistleblower. He said a year ago, he said, you're not going to get the files because, you know, the intelligence agencies, and he said, but watch, it'll be the PR people that are deep state operatives. They're going to set Trump up and hang it around his neck, and it's happened.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is nobody is talking about why didn't Joe Biden release the Epstein files? But this is exactly, it's working out exactly the way they wanted it to work out.
Can Trump, is there time for him to extricate himself? Well, he's too pigheaded. He'll never do it. I mean, well, this is going to be terrible.
Yeah, I think this is going to be terrible. You know, somebody asked Trump, a reporter asked Trump, I think it was CBS a couple of weeks ago, who are your closest advisors? Who do you take advice from? And he said, I don't have advisors. I just go with my gut. And I think that he's telling us the truth. He goes with his gut. And because he's human, sometimes your gut is wrong.
Well, that's the thing is the elites hate him because he makes his own decisions. And when he makes the right decision, we love it. But no, he really is the president. And I know people that know him well. They said, look, he was like that before. They said, listen, he does not give an F now. And he just, I mean, this is, if I was the Russians and Chinese, I'd be scared, though, because a lot of leaders try to act crazy so that people are scared. I'm going to tell China and Russia, I would watch, I mean, like, this is Trump at 79, all the stress he's been through. He's still an idiot savant ways, but I'm telling you, this is crazy.
This is bad.
Is there any way to get through
I'm genuinely worried.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I'm genuinely worried because he's so unpredictable, not just to foreign leaders, but to the American people as well. We just don't know what
to do. Well, I've confirmed he sleeps like an hour a night now.
Wow. Wish I could do that.
Well, I mean, look, here's the deal, folks. John, you got to come back on at some point. We need to pray for President Trump. I'm serious. We need to pray for his health and his mind. Because the Democrats, you have evil people. We know they're bad. Trump's trying to be good, but sometimes the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
That's right.
John, right. You got a lot of best-selling books. How do people find your books?
Oh, thank you. Most of them are still on Amazon. One's out of print, but I've got another one coming out next month. It's kind of a niche book. I decided after seven books on the CIA, I wrote one on the historic cemeteries of Washington, D.C.
That sounds really interesting. I'm going to read it. Listen, I have had to beg. I know you're busy, but I have had to beg to get you on. You're a great guest. You got to come on at least every couple months.
I would love it. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. That's a smart guy, folks. Okay. I know Ben Shapiro came out and said Jones is attacking Trump every day. I'm not attacking Trump. He's like the lifeboat I'm in, and it's got leaks in it. And I'm not defending myself. I don't need to. I know you're all as pissed as I am, probably. I know that. In fact, most of my listeners want me to totally abandon Trump. Abandon him for what? The Democrats that hate the country and literally a bunch of pedophiles. It is what it is, folks. But we have got to pray and call the White House and call Congress and say, listen to Eric Prince, right-wing hawk. This Iran thing goes from bad to worse. Don't do it. Your phone calls are 2 minutes away. Miss Lou, Rob, James, Derek, Drew, Carlos.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean.
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why Methylene Blue works. It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Tamer's endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free, you're plus. Like, it's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at theAlexShowStore.com.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.